You had to take a seat. So it's week three of our annual program, our annual pledge program. And this year, the program is about living abundantly, love circles of connection and community. And really, that's the true abundance, is love circles of connection and community. The true abundance comes from knowing, first of all, our oneness with Source, and knowing that the first circle is an inner circle, and that every other circle, every time we connect in love with someone, it's a love circle, whether it's two or more. As Jesus the Christ said, when two or more are gathered in my name, there I am. And so we're practicing that on Sunday after service. We're gathering in circles and talking about the ideas in the message and in the music. And we feed you first. You couldn't ask for more gracious hospitality. So we feed you lightly first and invite you to stay. And the whole purpose of it is to get to know some more people. Don't choose to be in the same group you were with last time. Choose another group. And choose another group. So you'll also get an opportunity to do this next week when Reverend Judy is speaking. But I'm inviting you right now. Please play. Please participate. So my message this morning is, it's their birthright too. And although I have a short PowerPoint, we may or may not see it because I didn't get it to Mary before the choir. Oh, we won't see it? Oh, we have it. Okay. So, living abundantly, you can go to the next one. Okay, so the first principle of abundance, of health, of wholeness, is oneness, that there is only one. There's only one power, there's only one presence, and no matter what name you call it, there's only one. And that oneness is really important to remember. We are connected in love. We are one with one another, and our connection is a love connection. And it doesn't have to be weird. It's this heart to heart to say, I see the God in you, and I know you see the God in me. Next slide, please. Okay, so who are the exceptions in your life? When I looked up online, who's hated most in the United States, all these names came up. The names of the celebrities that are hated most. Most hated celebrity is Gwyneth Paltrow. Who knew this? Except I didn't know this. I would think she'd be quite popular, but oh no, she's the top number one hated celebrity, according to the list of the stars somebody did, or something. So when we say we're one and we're all connected in love, do you make exceptions in your mind? Do you say, well, except for that person that doesn't think anything like me, or except for that person, because you see the last few names, the last three names, are murderers. Ted Bundy, Adolf Hitler, Attila the Hun. So now we're talking about those human beings that lived atrociously, that didn't know their oneness with life, and yet it's their birthright too, means that the same abundance that is running through you is running through every person everywhere all the time. All of us are made in the image and likeness of the one, not just the ones who profess to be Christians, not just the practicing Jews, not just the really solid Muslims. All beings are connected in this one thing, in the source, in love. And sometimes we forget. Sometimes we forget. And the thing that makes us forget most often is we make assumptions. Could I see the next slide, please? So you see this slide. It's a Reverend Bruce and me. This and Reverend Bruce's wife, who's partly in the picture, but she wasn't in the picture, and what I'm going to tell you. When we listen incorrectly, when we hear incorrectly, our speaking is going to match our mishearing. So if you think someone has condemned you or criticized you, you're likely going to be a little defensive. Well, this is what happened to me Wednesday night. We had this wonderful question and answer period, and Reverend Judy was asking the questions, and she read, I'm going to repeat it exactly because I didn't hear another thing after that question. I was so in my head, and here was the question. And it was written this way. You say you want a relationship, yet you cannot fathom being in one. I took it personally. I made an assumption. Someone was saying, why aren't you in a relationship? You say you want one. Don't we practice something that is all about creating whatever it is we want? Why aren't you doing it? I got so, so very resistant, and I answered from that way. Meanwhile, the person sitting out there, and fortunately, except for me outing myself right here, no one would know because there were very few people Wednesday night. So that handful of people has now been multiplied. But it was important for me to do so because it was so easy to slip into an assumption. See the word assume? Ass, you, me. You make an ass of you and me when you make an assumption. I made an ass of myself because I couldn't hear the next things. I was like, who would write that? I thought they loved me. Maybe they don't love me. I mean, I was in such a real state. It was horrible. So Reverend Judy, and she was right beside me asking the questions from my right. So I don't know if you noticed or not, and thankfully that was toward the end, but I didn't hear anything else. So whatever you other brilliant ministers said after that, I will have to ask you because I didn't hear it. And that's what happens. We can know something as their birthright. So here this person legitimately wanted to know the answer to, when I can't imagine myself in relationship, how can I create one? And the answer was clearly you cannot. Because the first step for anything is to be able to see it, to be able to accept that that's possible for you. But I took it personally. I'm big time personally. I'm going, well, I can't solo. I can do that, but I just guess I don't want to. And okay. Next slide, please. So here's the thing. When we're helpful to others, we open to life's flow. So living abundantly, when we're helpful, whether we're helping other human beings or other beings, that helpfulness opens the floodgates of prosperity, of abundance, of connection, of community. And those of you who are in service here already know that. You know that you love to be in service because it fills your heart. So I wanted to show you this video, and I failed to catch the link. And when I typed in whatever I typed in last night, there were 30 million to choose from, and I couldn't find it this morning, so I apologize. But I'm going to tell you this, and maybe perhaps you'll find it. It was an article written by, I think, a UCC minister, United Church of Christ minister. But it doesn't matter, because he was talking about brotherly love. And he said, we talk about saying you must love the Lord your God with all your mind, with all your heart, and with all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. As yourself, meaning you have to love yourself first, but you need to love your neighbor. So whatever I typed in, I got this wonderful video of a young man, a young 20-something kid, and his best friend, who was a homeless woman. And here's what had happened. 3 days in a row, he walked by the homeless woman. She asked for money, and he said, I don't have any money. And she's the third time said, you better be telling the truth, because I'll know if you start spending money. And he said, well, I'm on my way to a job interview. If I get the job, I'll take you out for Chinese food. And he got the job, and he did. And that started an 8-year friendship, during which time She was living in the subway, living in the bus stations. I mean, she did not have a home and wasn't here in Southern California where she might have been quite comfortable. And a few months later, he lost his job. She said, "Don't worry, I'll look after you." And the next day arrived with a huge bag of groceries. And he said for the whole time he was unemployed, she brought him something every day. Now, this is someone without means. They celebrated each other's birthdays. They celebrated all of the holidays together. And then, finally, 8 years into their friendship, she was able to move out of the subway, into an apartment of her own. But she didn't have anything to furnish it with, so he created a little ask, a Target ask, and they went to Target and took swipes of all of the products she wanted, and it ended up, it was about $500 worth of stuff, not very much. And he put it online, and $5,000 came in. People love to help people. They had to say, "Stop, we've been giving the extra money to other women in need, other people who can't care for themselves." But to me, that is such a demonstration of when we're helpful, not only is there flow for us, but look at the connection. He said, "The only bad thing is that she's moving further away. I won't see her as often." They're different races, different ages. This young guy is, like I said, 20-something. She's middle-aged. He's Caucasian, she's African-American. And they had made a friendship because he said yes. He talked to her. You know, we don't see so many now, but when we were in our other location, we often had homeless people. And sometimes it's just uncomfortable to even offer help. Sometimes they don't want help. But do we offer? Next slide, please. Yes, Saturday, Friday, I had just the greatest day. First of all, I now know what Homeland Security means by biometrics, because I had my biometrics appointment, and it just means that they do the digital fingerprints and take your picture. I thought maybe they'd do my iris so they could scan when I go out of the country, but they didn't do that. And then I was invited to a Rotarian luncheon where a number of people from Orange County were being honored. And I was one of the nominees. I didn't win. And honestly, when I read and heard what the other nominees did, I was really glad that I wasn't the one who won, because the guy who won, he had done an amazing amount of good, of volunteer good. He'd collected 10,000 pairs of shoes for children in Mexico. I mean, 10,000 pairs, that's a lot of shoes. So anyway, he won. But here's what when the people who nominated me put my name forward, they said, "She passes the four-way test," which is, this is the four-way test for Rotary. And it is this: before you say, think, or do anything, ask yourself these four questions. You'll have heard them before. Is it the truth? Is it the truth? And now we take that even deeper, because we say, is it the spiritual truth? Is it fair to all concerned? Is it fair to all concerned? Will it build goodwill and better friendships? And number four, will it be beneficial to all concerned? And if your thoughts pass that test, go for it. If your words pass that test, go for it. Tell the truth. Be fair to everyone, and it will build goodwill and better friendships. I'm going to go to the blank screen next. Thanks, Mary. When we were thinking about this whole month, thought the very most important thing we want to recognize are the people who claim ownership in this place by either giving their money, by giving their time, their talent. So It's great. We actually chose it on purpose. It was the choir Sunday because the choir is all volunteers. And we are, I know it was an ensemble this morning. It will grow like it did last year. But let's acknowledge these wonderful volunteers. Our choir. Stand up. Stand up, Summit. Yeah. Yay. We have what I did. But some of you don't know this, but I'm going to tell you right now. Once a month, the leaders of all the groups meet. We call it a leadership council. We meet for 2 hours maximum. Sometimes it's less. We connect with one another. We talk about what's happening in our various ministries. And so I'm going to acknowledge the leaders, and then during the time, the lunchtime, they're going to acknowledge you. So this is in no particular order, but I'm going to start with you, Mary Brogdon, who is the leader of the sound team, and she, come right back, up. She, Mary is welcoming support in the sound booth. Immediate welcoming of support in the sound booth. If you have even the remotest interest, you would be trained as well as anyone could be trained. Thank you, Mary, for so much for all of your work. You can go sit down now, but the second person on my list is Reverend Michael DeFebo, our special events coordinator, and Michael is right here. The third person on our list is Kathy Story, who is our SEVA coordinator, volunteer coordinator. She's got a lot to hand out. The next on our list is Pamela Rock, who is our co-leader of our practitioner team. And I do have the other co-leaders here, but he'll have to wait till his turn comes up. And then I'd like to acknowledge our whole board of trustees, but I'm only going to call the president of our board of trustees, Aidan Graney, forward. Thank you, Aidan, for our meetings are like 4 or 5 hours long, and he never loses focus. He stays present the whole time. Thank you. Then I'd like to acknowledge one of the co-leaders of our Circle of Love, Anita Baroldi, also on our practitioner team. I don't see Barbara here today. I think she's still getting back from her trip. And Pat's not here today either. And Laura Macy, our women's group leader. And I saw him, but no. Oh, Dave Friedman, our men's group leader. And he's also our co-leader of our practitioner team. So both of those, thank you. Our creative arts leader, Reverend Karen Allen, who is very flexible and fast. and our Wednesday's wisdom leader, Reverend Judy Chapman. I also have one for Reverend Patty Mercado, and Reverend Patty isn't here this morning. She's doing her sacred service with her family. Her grandnephew passed away at 6 months old, and so she went to officiate the service and be with her sister and the family. So we just send a lot of love and so much acknowledgement for Patty, who does so much and is so much. Let's acknowledge her. And I also have one for, but I don't have it with me, Diane, for you as choir leader, because I think it would be lovely on Thursday, the next rehearsal, if they could all be acknowledged, because what you give. So every single person I've spoken about represents others, and everyone makes a difference. I also did one for Tony, and where is it? I know, Tony, come on up. So Tony Sparks for Animal Kinship Ministry, and it's probably still in the printer, Tony, because it's not here. So as I was saying, each one represents many others, and all of you make the difference. So the birthright of this abundant flow, God's flow, is right where you are. And one of the ways to engage it is to help, is to give help, give yourself to others, be helpful. You can be helpful, like taking someone out for Chinese food, or you could be helpful, like making coffee here, making a salad, the big time salads being made today. You can be helpful by standing at the door and greeting people. So there's so much good you can do right here, right now. And here's the thing that I know, because all of us have our reasons for doing or not doing. Kathy can talk to you volumes about why she serves, because she gets so much out of it. And I know people can also say, well, I don't have time. I don't want to get too involved. I'm too shy. That's a good one. The shyest person that you'll meet is standing right here, telling about her life and the mistakes she makes, and the good she does. So the I'm too shy means there's a part of the world where God isn't connecting as me, and it's a lie. It's a lie. You may be shy, but God's still where you are as abundance. There's a beautiful story about a mother who, I'm thinking of Reverend Patty comforting her family, who lost their toddler child. And the mother was in such deep grief. She went to the Buddha and she said, if you will just bring him back, I'll give anything. And the Buddha thought about it and he said, very well. I can do so if you collect from everyone in your community who has not experienced grief a mustard seed. Mustard seed's very small. He gave her a thimble. Just collect a mustard seed. And she went to the first door, and the woman listened to her and said, I want to help you. I'm so sorry, but I can't help you because I have had grief. And the second and the third and the fourth, every door she knocked on. And by the end of knocking on every door in her community and not being able to collect one mustard seed, she accepted her son's passing. So that acceptance is something we're connected in everything, folks. We're connected by God's love. And we're also connected in our assumptions. We're connected in our mistakes. But mostly we're connected in our abundance, in our prosperity, in the greater good that we can create. What do we need to do? First of all, know what it is we want. Feel it, see it, speak it, as if already so. So what would be abundant in your life? What would that be? You can't hoard your love, just like you can't hoard your money. You have to circulate it. That's the law. The flow happens when you give. So give more. Give more of yourself. You'll feel better and you'll be better. So the thing is that there's no spot where God is not. Every single one of us is in that flow, in that all good. There was a song Reverend Judy played at Wednesday Wisdom a couple of weeks ago. It's in every one of us. We used to sing it all the time. It's bad grammar. Bad grammar in that song, but great song. And the song is that this thing is in every one of us. It's in every one of us right now. Whether we know it or not, whether we're being good or not being good, whether we're meeting expectations or not meeting them, whether we have a 40-person choir or 15, it's in every one of us. It's here. We're already abundant. This is an abundant center. And each one of you is part of that abundance, part of that flow, so essential to the whole. So it's their birthright too. What is your birthright? Peace, love, harmony, wisdom, joy. That's your birthright. And it's everyone else's birthright. So my request this week. When you see on television or someone that annoys you, one of that list, or someone else, someone that annoys you, see if you can just take a moment to remember. It's their birthright too. They deserve the same thing that I want. Love, peace, harmony, abundance. It's their birthright too, it's your birthright too, and so it is. Thank you. Thank you.